Amen. Please find in your Bibles the first book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 1. And I want to read verses 1 through 4 of this opening chapter of the book of Kings. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. First chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. When you find a place, we will read these few verses. Let us now hear the word of God. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him. But the king knew her not. And may God bless his word for Christ's sake. Now from these verses before us, I want to preach on the story of a young care worker. And there may be even some care workers in the congregation here tonight. My daughter is a care worker. And there may be someone here, and this may just be a word for you. As we cross the threshold of 1 Kings, we are informed that David was old and stricken in years. The very first verse, the first part of the verse. And the phrase David was old and stricken in years implies that he was failing physically. And verse 15 confirms that the king was old. And in the margin of my Bible, it has David was 70 years old. Now, I'm not saying that anyone here who's 70 years of age is very old. I'm just repeating to you what the Bible says here about King David. So don't take any offense by what I'm saying. It's from the Lord. Maybe it is a word in season for us all in the house of God tonight. Now, this is in keeping with 2 Samuel 5, verses 4 and 5, where it says of David that he was 30 when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. That gives a total of 70 years. It's obvious that his physical condition had deteriorated and that death was coming. Stricken with years in the margin simply means entered into days. His life was no longer tallied up in years or months, but down to days. His blood circulation was poor, and it was impossible for him to keep his body warm. The historian writes that he got no heat, verse 1b, or as it is in the margin, he could not get warm. He had no natural heat in his body. He was cold because the circulation in his body was poor, and that happens to people when they get a little bit older. Then one of the royal advisors suggested, let there be sought a young virgin, let her be brought to the king, and let her cherish him or become a nurse for the king. Now, verses 2 through 4 describe a type of technique practiced in ancient times in which the body of a healthy person was used to help warm the body of a sick person. And the young woman selected for this position was probably considered to be a concubine of David's, or I think Matthew Henry has even suggested that this young virgin became one of David's wives. So there was nothing immoral or improper about this relationship. And the scripture does make it clear that the king knew her not in verse 4. That is, in a marital sense, as Adam knew his wife Eve in an intimate way, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. So there's nothing improper about this whole situation. But what I want to do this evening is to preach the gospel from this very interesting little historical account before us. And you may be wondering, where can he get the gospel in this little account before us? I believe I can get the gospel here, because I can take David spiritualizing things. I can take David, the beloved, to point us to Christ. You see that now? Those responsible for seeking the damsel, we can use them to illustrate the ministry of the Spirit through the church, seeking a people for Christ, and then the damsel as a type of the sinner. So I trust now that you're with me. You're understanding where I'm going to take you for the next 25 minutes or so in the gospel. It's here, and I want to preach the gospel from this simple story. Now, in the first place, I want us to think, and I want to show you how the damsel was sought. This is very important. So they sought for a fair damsel, verse 3a. It was a pretty extensive search, because they searched throughout all the coasts of Israel. So they searched near and they searched far. And the story of the Bible is the story of God seeking sinners, is it not? It began in Genesis chapter 3 when God visited the Garden of Eden seeking for the first fallen man. And to Adam he said, "Where art thou?" God came seeking the sinner, you see. That's what I'm talking about tonight. The damsel was sought. Now, why does it emphasize that God came seeking after Adam? It's been this way ever since, by the way. And the answer is very simple. Because man left to himself will never seek the Lord. He will never seek after God. Now, it's interesting too, and I've got to emphasize this, that God sought Adam. Adam did not seek God. So when you read Genesis chapter 3, you discover that Adam had sinned. Adam was sought because God came seeking him, and then Adam was saved. We can move on then to Genesis chapter 6, to another illustration, verse 8 of that sixth chapter, and we're told that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this grace was freely bestowed upon Noah. Not that he sought it, but grace found him. That's the way it's put here. That's the sense of the words used in God's precious word. God sought him out. Grace sought him out. The way that grace and God sought you out, child of God, and me. In our sin, he sought us out. He was patient with us. He followed us. He pursued us. He showed grace to us. He showed mercy to us. And then he intervened in divine grace. We have another illustration in the story of Mephibosheth, who, as you know, was the crippled son of Jonathan, David's friend. And after Saul was killed and after Jonathan was killed in the battlefield, I suppose Mephibosheth, phew, that's a hard word to get out, this man, how he feared that he would be killed by David, until David sent some messengers with a message to a place called Lodibar, the place of no pasture. And the message was a message of peace. So here we find David the Beloved typifying Christ. He sending out a message to a man who had fallen because he fell when his nurse let him fall, and he was crippled in both feet. He couldn't walk. He had a terrible fall, and that is typical of man in his natural state before God. Because Adam fell. He fell into sin. He lost his purity. And he plunged the whole human race into sin. That's what we mean by the fall of man. And we are related to Adam. Therefore, we all have fallen into sin and are separated from God and deserve nothing but of his mercy and grace. But the point is, David sought out Mephibosheth. There, I got it out this time. He sent a message of peace. And he brought him back from Lodibar, and he set him down at his table in his palace. He covered his feet, you see. His feet were under the table. That defiled bit was under the table, hidden from the sight of the king. And that's what the Lord does for those who trust in him for salvation. He deals with their sin. He removes that sin. And it gives us a perfect standing before his heavenly throne of grace. Mankind is spiritually crippled since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Then we have another wonderful picture. I'm just showing you different illustrations in the Bible that show how God seeks after fallen sinners, the way he sought after you, the way he sought after me. It's in the story of Joseph, and Joseph is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Genesis chapter 37, verse 14, the father, listen to it, the father said to the beloved son, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren." And the brethren were separated from Joseph. They hated Joseph, the beloved son. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Hebron means fellowship. So the father sent the son from the place of fellowship to seek his wayward boys, his wayward sons. We can apply this in the gospel. God the Father sent his well-beloved son from the place of intimate fellowship in heaven into a sin-cursed world on a divine mission to seek wayward sons and daughters, estranged from him by sin and corrupted by their iniquity. So Joseph was sent out by the Father. Do you get the picture now? Are you understanding the picture? Am I painting the picture clear enough for you? We have the picture of God seeking sinners in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Joseph couldn't find his brethren. A man met him wandering in the field and said, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren." Verse 16 of that chapter, Genesis 37. And the man replied, he said, "I heard them talking and they've moved to Dothan." So he continued searching until he found them. He didn't give up, you see, like the good shepherd who came to seek that which was lost. In Luke 15, the shepherd sought the lost sheep until he found it. So did Joseph. He didn't give up. He didn't stop short. He kept on searching, obeying the Father's command, seeking the welfare of his estranged brethren. He came to Shechem. That word means shoulder. It's located in the valley between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, about 40 miles north of Jerusalem. And then when he couldn't find them there, he came to Dothan. And Dothan is only mentioned two times in the Bible. And this is very interesting, I thought anyway. In Genesis 37, verse 17, it's associated with Jacob's sheep. The other place where the word is found is 2 Kings 6, verse 13, to be the residence of Elisha, meaning God is salvation. So when you put these two references together, isn't this very interesting? That they're associated with the shepherd and the sheep and with salvation. And John chapter 10 tells us, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Here we have a wonderful type and picture of Christ who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't the Bible a wonderful book? Isn't it a wonderful picture book? God is painting the picture for us. For he knows just how dull and understanding we really are. So here we have this wonderful picture. The damsel was sought. And the Lord is here in this meeting tonight seeking for sinners, seeking for the lost, seeking to bring them from afar to that place of reconciliation through the work of Jesus Christ. So the damsel was sought. There's gospel truth here. And then the damsel was found. In verse 3, we're told that they sought and they found Abishag. So the servant sent out by the royal advisors accomplished what they set out to do. They found her. Joseph found his brethren. The good shepherd found the lost sheep. And the woman that we read of in Luke 15, she found the lost piece of silver. The shepherd searched in the wilderness. The woman, she searched in the house. Think of the distance. The wilderness, far off. Some people are far off from God. The woman, she sought for the piece of silver in the house. But she had to fight through the dust to find that precious coin that she had lost, the dust of sin, you see. So some people are far away from God in the far country. There's some people lost in the church. in the home, in the house, in the family. You don't have to drive miles to find people who are far away from God. You don't have to drive far to meet with sinners in the house, in the home, family members. The prodigal was lost in the far country. Remember what he said to his dad? He says, "Give me what is mine." Really, he was saying, "Father, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. I wish you were dead. I want to get away from you. I want to get away from my home. I want to live a little bit. I want to find myself," whatever that means. And so he headed off and he blew it all. Oh, we can see him with a long beard. He smells now because he's been feeding the swine. Ah, there's no joy now. It's all gone. His friends are all gone. His fancy garments are gone. His bank balance is down. He's nothing. He's hired himself. He's glued himself as a citizen to a citizen of the county to work there feeding swine. This is where sin ends a person up. This is where sin brings a person to. Until he came to himself and he said, "There are servants in my father's house better off than I am. I will arise and go to my father." The Lord brought him to an end of himself, you see. But the elder brother, he was at home with all his fancy garments and everything else. He was enjoying all the benefits that the father could provide, and he was every bit as lost. He was every bit as lost as the son far away, the far country. You can be lost living like a deep-dyed sinner in the far country, boozing, fighting, gambling, whatever. You could be lost in your home, self-righteous, respectable, church-going person. You can be lost in your sin. They found Abishag. The good shepherd always finds what he seeks after. She's described as Abishag, the Shunammite. She was a beautiful damsel from this place called Shunam in the territory of Issachar. And the name Shunam means father of errors, or my father wanders or errs, or my father strays. This is very applicable to the sinner. My father Adam strayed or wandered from God, and as a result of that, I'm living in error. I'm living as a wanderer from God. I need to be returned to my heavenly father. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And Jesus said, "You're of your father, the devil." And so we can see this damsel who had been sought for right throughout the length and breadth of the land, right through all the coasts of Israel. She was found. Hallelujah. Remember the night you were found? Remember the night you were liberated? Remember the night you let those warm tears flow down your cheeks with joy of repentance as you came to Christ? Remember the change it brought to your home, the change it brought to your life, the change it brought to your partner, your wife, or your husband, the change your children saw. By grace, are you saved through faith? What a change. What grace this is. And what also needs is grace. What also needs is the preaching of the gospel. And they're trying to silence gospel preachers. They're trying to take away the signs, the holy scriptures from public view. Up there in Port Stewart, the council is against renewing the license for the gospel text down there where the pool used to be. Right across the land, we can see this rebellion against God. What also needs is the gospel of grace, and they're putting the gospel from them. So the damsel was sought. The damsel was found. Aren't you glad you were found? Hallelujah. And then there's something more. The damsel was brought, and they brought her to the king. So having been sought and having been found, she's brought to the king. What a wonderful picture this is of the sinner being brought by the Spirit through Christ to the King of glory. Happy was the day when we were brought savingly to the cross. I mentioned Enoch this morning. Enoch was brought when he was 65 years of age on the birth of a son, and God gave him a message in the birth of a son. Saul was brought. Remember how he persecuted the church? He was on his way to Damascus with letters demanding that anyone who followed the way, That was the title, that was the name by which Christians were known, by the way. Oh, isn't this significant? Christ said, I am the way. They were followers of Christ. He had authority to arrest them and to kill them if needs be. And suddenly, as he's traveling along, God blinds him. The lights go out on the Damascus Road. He's terrified. He's horrified. What has happened to him? Oh, the big, burly man, the strong man, the great man that people ought to be afraid of, comes into Damascus led by the hand, a blind man. God thwarted the plans of Saul because God had people in Damascus and he was protecting those people from the threat that Saul posed. God overruled, you see, in that mysterious way. The lights went out on the Damascus Road. And then for those 3 days, as he waited there in Damascus, the Lord spoke to a man called Ananias. He said, Ananias, I've got a job for you to do. I want you to go to a certain place. He gave the directions, the name of the street, the name of the house, the name of the man. And they'll be praying. He'll be seeking the face of God in prayer when you find him in the house. And Ananias was afraid to go. He said, I've heard many things about this man. He's come to persecute the church. And the Lord says, never you mind about that. You just go. And he was there in the house praying when Ananias arrived at the door and came in and prayed for him. And the blindness was removed. His sight was restored, but furthermore, he received spiritual light. The blindness disappeared. I personally believe that he was converted on the Damascus Road. But the assurance came when the man of God came with a message from God. And we know the story of how his life was changed. Remember Manasseh? I think he reigned the longest, maybe 55 years or so. He was an ungodly man. And the Bible tells us that when he was bound with fetters and carried away captive to Babylon, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly. And he prayed to God. And he was entreated of him. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. God put a hook in his nose, if you like. God sent something into his life that humbled him, that brought him to his senses, that let him know just how frail a man he was, and that God is sovereign, and God is powerful, and God hates sin, and God judges sin. But at the same time, he discovered that God is a God of mercy and tender compassion. And that man, who had a godly father, no doubt broke the heart of his father on many occasions. That man was converted by grace after all those years of defiance and rebellion. And maybe there's someone you're praying for tonight and you are in great despair and you're saying to yourself, I don't think they'll ever be reached with the gospel. Keep praying on. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Hallelujah. There's a God in heaven. There's a God who can suddenly intervene in the hearts and lives of men and women who are rebellious against him and turn them around and send them in the opposite direction. And the persecutor of the church became a preacher for the church, a pastor of churches, a man who's given to us a greater part of the New Testament. This is what God can do. This is what grace can do. This is the triumph of grace. This is the power of God. And no doubt the church in Damascus were praying for a mighty deliverance. They never expected it to come the way it did come, you know. It's just like the people there in Acts chapter 12 were praying for Peter. And when he knocked on the door, they couldn't believe that Peter was there. They couldn't believe that he was out of the prison house. It was easier for him to get out of the prison house and into the prayer house, by the way. They could hardly believe it. Rhoda came to the door, and Rhoda means rose. Oh, we have a precious rose here. And she recognizes Peter's voice. And she turns. Instead of opening the door, she turns and runs into the prayer meeting. Oh, they're praying for Peter. Oh, God, deliver Peter. And Rhoda says, Peter's at the door. Off your mat. This can't be. It must be his ghost. And she kept on saying, it is Peter. He's outside the door. Oh, they're praying for God to deliver Peter, and he's at the door, and they don't believe it. That's the way we are at times, you know. We pray about certain things, and God gives the answer. We can hardly take it in. God's a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Redeemer, a tender Father. A compassionate Father, and in spite of ourselves, he still answers prayer. He's full of compassion. So God can do wonderful things. And all these individuals that I've mentioned tonight, they were brought to the king. And we're told here in verse 3, they brought her to the king. That is this young virgin. Now David was the second king of Israel, the first having been rejected by God. We can apply this spiritually. God rejects our first birth and accepts the second birth. How do I know this? You think about Cain and Abel. Cain was the firstborn. God rejected him. Abel was the secondborn. God accepted him because of his faith, because of the sacrifice he brought. So God rejects our first birth. By our first birth, we're born in sin and shame and iniquity. And it's by the new birth that we are brought into this relationship with God through Christ. So God rejects our first birth, but accepts the second birth. And David, the king, was the one who defeated the great enemy of the people of God, Goliath, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And does this not remind us of the greater son of David, Jesus Christ, who defeated the devil at Calvary? He smote him, he disarmed him, he took away his sword. Can you imagine the Philistines laughing, mocking when they saw this 16, 17-year-old boy approaching their great Goliath with all of his armor and the spear and the armor bearer and so on? This man's impregnable. Nobody can do any harm to him. Surely this will be a great victory for the Philistines. And here's David coming with his shepherd's bag. There's 5 stones in there and he's got the sling. And Goliath is coming on. And David takes out one of those stones out of the bag and he puts it into the sling. And there he runs towards Goliath. And he keeps his eye upon him. And there he lets go. And the unprotected spot just here, the stone hit here. Goliath is on his knees. There's a camp in the, there's a cry in the camp of the Israelites, a cheer. You can see them punching the air. Oh, they despised David as he set out, and they said, what was Saul thinking about allowing David? You can think about David's brothers there. They despised David. He's showing them up. They had no courage. And then Goliath is flat out there. And David takes the sword. And with all the strength that God could give him, he executes Goliath. He cuts his head off and he holds his head up. I am the victor. I have triumphed through grace. That's what Christ did at the cross. He took on the greater Goliath and defeated him by the shedding of his blood, by giving his life to make an atonement for our sins. And so the damsel was sought, she was found, and she's brought unto David the king. That's the way we were brought to Christ the king, the one who defeated the devil at the cross and shed his blood to purchase our redemption. And she was brought, and the advisors said to David when they came up with this plan to find a carer for him, let her lie in thy bosom, verse 2. Remember what was said of John the Beloved in John chapter 13, verse 23. Where was he leaning? He was leaning on the bosom of Christ. He's the one in the Bible described as the one whom Jesus loved. Sometimes we sing that hymn, Close to Thee. And by the shedding of his blood, we have been made nigh to him, and we find in him, in our time of need, a resting place. We find what the psalmist experienced, what others experienced, what it is to be close to him. In our time of adversity, in times when the wheels come off the chariots, when our friends forsake us, when we feel low, we're under attack by the devil, we feel we can't pray, we can't read, we can't study, we can't do anything positive for the glory of God, we feel our unworthiness, and in times like this we crawl to the bosom of Christ and we lean our heads upon his bosom and we can hear his heartbeat, a heartbeat for his people, and we're content to know that He loves us and He cares for us. He's with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Others may fail us and disappoint us, but Jesus never fails. He cannot fail because He's God. And we are in union with God through Him. And all the blessings purchased on Calvary's cross come to us through Him. So the next lonely night you have, and the next dark valley you enter into, remember, the Good Shepherd is with you. The one who sought you, the one who found you, the one who brought you is near hand. He's by your side, He's close to you, and He will never fail you. And when you're broken, He draws near to dry up the fallen tear, to bind up that broken heart, to whisper a word of encouragement in your ears. I am the Lord, I change not. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the age, to the end of the world. I'm here, I'm the Lord. Do you know Him tonight? Do you know His peace in your heart? Do you know the assurance of His salvation within you? The heartbeat after God. And then the final thing, the damsel was ministering to the king. The damsel cherished the king. That simply means the damsel cared for the king because she's a care worker and ministered to him. See verse 15. She was chosen to stand before the king, that is, to serve him. She became a nurse or a carer. It says she ministered to him, verses 4 and 15. Now, I find this interesting in my study. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read about a great woman from Shunem who received help from a king. But in our story, the Shunammite gave help to a king. Remember the story in 2 Kings 4? The Shunammite had no children. Elisha came, and because she had shown mercy to him in his travels, prepared a little room, the servant of God said, you're going to have a baby. She received that child as a gift from God. The child died. God's servant performed a miracle. The child was raised and restored to his mother. After that, God's servant came to the woman and said, there's a famine coming. Go into the land of the Philistines and be safe there. She went away to that land. She was safe there. She left her home, her farm, and everything behind her, and her fruits, the products of the land, and so on. She went away. After the famine ended, she came home. And one day, she went into the presence of the king, and lo and behold, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, obviously before the time he was smitten with leprosy, he was in the very presence of the king, and he was talking to the king about his master Elisha and the miracles he performed. And he was telling the king about the miracle performed on behalf of the dead boy, the son of the Shunammite, when she appeared in his presence. And the woman was in to the presence of the king, and she was saying, please give me back my land. I want my land back again. And because of what God had done for her, even though it broke her heart when her son died, she had to go through that. But now you see, God had a purpose in that. And the king said, because I've heard this amazing story, take this woman, restore her land to her, and all the fruits from her property over these past number of years, give it all back to her. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? At the time when her son died, that was a tragedy. That was a trial for her. She couldn't understand why God would give a son and then take the son away. But God had a purpose, you see. And we can see it now being fulfilled. And God protected that and preserved the woman. And saw to it that she would be provided for the rest of her days. And so she was a woman who received help from the king. But this young virgin from Shunem, another woman from Shunem, she gives help to the king. There's nothing improper or immoral about this relationship. Once Peter's mother-in-law was cured of a fever by Christ, she began to minister unto him. Now you think of it as I come to a close. You can think of the testimony this young woman had. The closeness she enjoyed with the king. She was in his presence every day. She could say, I had the joy of serving the King today. I had the joy of being close to him this day and every day since I became his nurse. She could say, I had the joy of seeing his face today and every day since then, of hearing his voice every day since then. Isn't that a wonderful picture for us to contemplate and dwell upon? Once we're brought into union with him, we can hear his voice every day. We can see his face every day. We can be in his service every day. The closeness, the fellowship, the warmth of being close to him, serving him every day. You know, Matthew chapter 1, God found a young virgin called Mary to care for his son, the great King of Kings. The Lord has given to his church a charge to care for the body of Jesus Christ. Now you think about Mary. Was she 30 years of age? Was she 35 years of age when she gave birth to the baby Jesus? No. She was probably 17 or 18 years of age. Isn't that an amazing thing that the Lord would entrust the care of his well-beloved son to a teenager, 17, 18 years of age? But it was her responsibility to care for Christ. Oh, may we care for the church, the body of Jesus Christ, and serve the Lord. And then in chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says David slept with his fathers. I'm sure the young Shunammite remembered the day of David's death. She had many fond memories of being with him, and the Lord has given to us a table. What for? That we might remember him. This too, in remembrance of me, he says. He's given to us a table to remember his death. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to remember his birth. While it's not wrong to remember his birth, he could never have done what he did without being born, and we have cause to rejoice in his birth, but he has commanded us to remember his death. And I'm sure she had many memories of time spent with David. And when we gather around the table, we have fond memories. David got no heat, he was cold. His body needed warmth. Apply this to the body of Jesus Christ. Sometimes our hearts are cold. Sometimes we are indifferent. The church at Laodicea was neither hot nor cold, lukewarm. How is it tonight? Are we close to him? Are we enjoying him? Do we see his face every day? Do we hear his voice every day? Do we seek him every day? Oh, we have a wonderful story of amazing grace in this simple little story of four verses. Remember how the damsel was sought, how she was found, how she was brought, how she ministered. The gospel's here. There's a message for us. May we have that attentive ear to hear and that understanding mind to receive and a heart that feels for Christ. Is it well with your soul? Have you been to the cross? Have you been redeemed by precious blood? Do you love him today? Do you love the Savior? The story of a young care worker and the triumph of grace in the life of the trusting soul. May God bless his word tonight to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy word today, thy word again this evening. May it even now be blessed of thee. May it be tucked away in our hearts, lest we sin against the Lord. May we think about it as we return home. May we dwell upon it when we do get home. May we get to that place of leaning upon the bosom of Christ. May we get close to him tonight. May we lean our head upon the pillow of his breast and lie contented, taking every care to him, every burden that we have, and casting our cares upon him. For he careth for us. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, and may we all leave the house of God encouraged in the Lord, quickened by the Spirit, on fire for God, and at the same time, be fully aware of the onslaughts of the devil, how he comes and how he works after the sowing of the seed. We ask these things in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen.